Coca-Cola today. So there's actually going to be a hymn change because I think 345, I'm not real sure on the tune myself, but if I can't lead y'all in it. So the second hymn's going to be, the one before the sermon will be the one page before at 344. And I'll announce it again. Please rise. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage held. The gates of brass before him burst, the fetters yield. He comes a broken heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure, and with the treasures of his grace enrich the humble poor. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, thy welcome shall proclaim, and hymns eternal arches ring with thy beloved name. Good morning. This is the Sunday of Joy. The pink candle is lit for that reason. I would say it in Latin if I could, but anyway, it's like Laudate or no. Anybody got no Latin? No? Okay. Big Latin. I don't think that it goes. All right, let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Lord, I will confess my transgressions unto you. O Almighty God, merciful Father, all my sins and iniquities, since I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent to them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join in reading responsively the introit for this morning. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That the Lord may dwell in our land.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good.
And our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him.
And make his footsteps the way.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
And to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning.
Is now and will be forever. Amen.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Oh, time. No. We're in Advent. We don't sing the glory in Advent. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning, the third Sunday in Advent, is taken from the book of Isaiah, beginning at chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offering the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The gradual. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, beginning with chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel according to St. John, beginning with chapter 1. Praise be to thee, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let's turn to hymn 344. Please be seated. On Jordan's bank the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. Then cleanse he every life from sin, make straight the way for God within, and let us all our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there. We hail thee as our Savior Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Without thy grace we waste away like flowers that wither and decay. Lay on the sick thy healing hand and make the fallen strong to stand. Show us the glory of thy face till beauty springs in every place. All praise, eternal Son, to Thee, whose advent sets Thy people free, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel lesson this morning, I almost wanted to say what St. Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, rejoice always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why I say that is Jesus comes into his ministry by going to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. I'll try and refer to him that way, and John, who wrote the gospel, of course not being the Baptist but the Apostle John, I'll try and remember to not confuse you. So John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he is doing something really that is something to rejoice about. You know, and the people in Jerusalem, they recognize this, and everyone from Jerusalem is coming out to him to be baptized, to receive forgiveness, because that's what he called them to do. So you would think that those who came, that is, those whom John the Apostle writes, showed up on that day. There were those among the crowd that came to see John the Baptist to find out what he was all about. Who is this John person? So we are told the Jews sent some, and that means the leaders of the Jewish people, those who said, go and find out. So they sent priests and Levites to find out, to investigate, to ask him, who are you? Who are you? That seems like a good question if you're not sure, but it's kind of odd it should come from these individuals who are expecting that one day the Messiah will come. And we know that's the case, that they knew this, because they even asked him about who he is. Well, are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Christ? But instead of rejoicing of the events that were taking place, I mean, just imagine, you've got all these people who are turning their hearts to God. They are going to this man who is offering to baptize them, to cleanse them, to make them ready for the Christ, for his entrance. I mean, people should have been rejoicing, and I guess the crowd was rejoicing. Perhaps every time when a relative was baptized or a good friend was baptized, as each of them entered into the waters of Jordan and were baptized. But even still, this isn't the baptism that you and I were baptized with. You remember last week's reading in the Gospel when it talked about John, and John says that his baptism really compared to Jesus, what he was going to do, which is to give us His Holy Spirit. We are baptized in our baptism with the Holy Spirit. We are given the Spirit of God in the water and word that we received as whatever age we were at when we received it. Whether it was an infant or an adult or a teenager, wherever you were in life that you were baptized at that moment, Christ did something wonderful for you. And we know that even the angels rejoice over one fallen individual who turns to God and believes. They rejoice in heaven. It is such a marvelous thing. It is a wonderful thing when a believer, when an unbeliever becomes a believer. Because they have the new life given to them by our God. So rejoicing seems like the word of the day right there for these people who came to see what was going on. They should have been elated. Maybe some of them were. Maybe some of them marveled. We don't know how many came to ask him. They might have had, you know, it might have been a couple people that asked the question, but there might have been an entourage. Who knows? But they came. John wasn't impressed. We remember what John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you?" Well, you did, John, didn't you? Just say, prepare your hearts. But that's not their response. Their response is to feel insulted. How dare you talk to us that way? Another reason to rejoice is a prophet is in their midst. John was recognized by the people as a prophet, and there hadn't been a prophet in Israel in over 500 years. The voice of God seemed to have turned silent. And now that voice is there. But the wonderful thing about that voice is he ain't the Word. And he confesses that. And he says, as a testimony to them, he says, I won't deny it. I confess to you, I am not the Christ. No, he is the voice crying in the wilderness to make ready the way of the Lord. And that's what he was doing. A lot of reason to rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be happy. The voice of God is among us. But even more important is the one whom they did not see, who had always been with them in a sense, at least for 30 years, in their very midst. In their very midst. But they only knew him as the carpenter's son. They didn't know him as the Son of God. But the reality of that is found in the words of John the Baptist when he says, his sandals, I'm not even worthy to be his slave. Slave is about as low as you can get in society. I'm not even worthy to be a slave and undo the thongs on his sandals. I'm not worthy to be a slave. When I read that, you know, I kind of thought of that one passage. It kind of goes to Jesus, really, when we think about his suffering on the cross and how he was despised by his own people who rejected him. And the psalmist writes, I am a worm and not a man. I kind of almost want to say that to John. I kind of want to say it about myself. I am a worm and not a man. Next to God, next to what he brings us. At least before I knew God, before I knew Christ as my Savior, I could say that about myself. I was insignificant. I was gum that someone picked up on the bottom of their shoe or something worse. But Christ lifted me up. He raised me up. He called me by my name and said, you are mine. He did that at my baptism. But I did not always live that calling. No, I wanted to do the same thing everyone else was doing. All my friends, all my peers. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to do those things. When I was called to be a pastor, I didn't want that. I wanted to do the things I wanted to do. Pastor? No. But the truth is, Christ is all He is all. There is nothing higher. There is nothing more sweet, that name of Jesus, that we can call upon, that we rejoice in because of what He has done. He has taken people who deserve no forgiveness and died for us. He took a people who rejected Him, who abused Him physically, who tortured Him. That sweet, sweet child of Mary, the Son of God, He is in your midst today too. Do we recognize Him, or do we forget He's in our midst as He was in the day of John the Baptist and the apostles? He was in their midst. And if they knew who He was, they would rejoice. You would think that. You would think they would rejoice. But they do not. They do not. They are jealous. They are envious. Their place is being taken over by some man in camel hair out in the desert eating locusts and honey and calling for people to come and repent. No, they shouldn't be. He shouldn't be doing that. That's the job of the priest, after all. How dare he intrude? Huh. Well, guess what? There's another intrusion coming your way. And He's the one who I'm not worthy to even be a slave for. That's the importance of that word, of that voice of John, to prepare us. This is no ordinary event. This is no ordinary thing. This is not what you see. This is more. This is God's hand coming down, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah. Who are you, John? I am the voice that Isaiah spoke of. This is no ordinary event. I am not Elijah. Even though Jesus said of John, if you will, he is Elijah. But that's now not how John saw himself. He was the voice. In a sense, he was like Elijah, a prophet, one calling the people to be ready. Because the Messiah, He's not just coming, He's standing there with you right now. And He stands with us right now. You see, we're kind of like that in our world today. People are wondering about Jesus and maybe about Christians who talk about Jesus. Well, who are you to talk about Jesus? Who are you to say anything about Him? How do you know Jesus is the Son of God? You're just reading a Bible that's not really anything different other than any other religion's literature. They're all written by men. So how can you claim your God as the only God? Who are you? Who are you? Well, we are the slaves of Christ because He made us worthy to be that, to be His slaves, servants of our Lord Jesus. That's what we are. We are His servants. But more than that, we are His brothers and sisters. He didn't try and come in any other fashion than a servant Himself. He even demonstrated how low He could go when He stooped down to wash the feet of the disciples on Maundy Thursday. He wasn't ashamed to be a servant, for that's why He came, to serve us in the sense of redeeming us and giving us an example of how we are to be also to one another. Be slaves of one another. Be servants of one another. Yes, you are free in Christ.
free to be a servant to all, to share with them the voice of God. We are the ones who now cry in the wilderness, make ready for the Lord, because He is coming again. Who are you? You are the children of God. You are recreated in His image. You have His Word. So rejoice in every situation. Rejoice. Rejoice. For Christ has called you by name. He knows you. And He invites you to go with Him and share the good news. Because when you share this good news of Jesus who came as an infant, the whole world is waiting to celebrate that day. Some actually know what they're celebrating Christmas for. But there are others that don't know. Many of them, believe it or not, have never heard what Christmas really is about. But we know. We know it's about God becoming a man so that He could deliver us, so that He could redeem us. We know it. We know it because He died for us and the tomb was empty on that Sunday. It was empty not because the apostles stole His body, because there were guards there. It was empty because Christ is alive. And because He lives, we know where our Savior is in our midst. He is with us now to the end of the age. When He comes, and the whole world will see. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the gift of salvation You have given us. Sometimes I know we don't feel or think we should be rejoicing because everything seems to be messed up in life and in the world lately. But there is, because You have delivered us, Lord. We look to You and we find our reason for joy. And this Sunday, especially as we recognize this Sunday as a Sunday of joy, rejoice in You always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free Spirit. Amen. All that we have is Thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. Amen. Lord, we're on hymn 786 before I start to sing By My Lonesome. The offering hymn. Lord, Lord,
Lord of all good, our gifts we bring you now. Use them your holy purpose to fulfill, tokens of love and pledge. Our whole life is offered to your will. We give our minds to understand your ways, hands, eyes, and voice to serve your great design, hearts with the flame of your own love ablaze. Thus, for your glory, our paths combine. Father, whose bounty all creation shows, Christ, by whose willing sacrifice we live, Spirit, from whom all life in fullness flows, to you with grateful hearts ourselves we give. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people and for all people according to their needs. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Keep your saints from every folly that would turn them from your words of peace. Lord, in your mercy. You sent John to proclaim the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Richly and daily forgive our sins and the sins of all believers. Bless Matthew, our Synod President, Michael, our District President, Wayne, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Gather and preserve your holy Christian church by your voice, and send us faithful preachers who will not deny but confess your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, be the source of strength and comfort in every home. Bless the children of our families that every darkness would be lightened by your Son's gracious visitation. Sanctify them completely, that their whole spirit, soul, and body may be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in your mercy. Give wisdom and success to our nation and its leaders. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us and those newly elected. Preserve our land and its citizens in peace and harmony, and protect all who serve in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks in every circumstances for your kindness in Christ Jesus and the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life with him. We especially pray for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Jeff Schaffner, Robert Galabias, Shirley Powers, Larry Foltz, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, and Wilfred Defoe and Peggy Spitzenberger. We pray, Lord, that you would grant them that which they need. Lord, in your mercy, give us faith to believe in the New Testament in your blood, and to always, when offered, seek your Holy Supper for the forgiveness of our sins, to confess your truth with honest hearts in communion with one another. Lord, in your mercy, and to your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated. Are there any announcements this morning?
Just that we apostle this morning.
So a wassailing we will go.
Across the west.
Yep. Shirley Powers probably does not have long to live, but who knows? God is in control of everything. Jeff?
I thought for a granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night she said that they were going to be doing an EEG to see what her brain function was like. So, thank you, Jeff. For, you know. Did she say anything else to you?
No, I talked to her. You know, they just said, like you said, God's hand.
Yep.
So she
always is, anyhow. Well, either way, she's going to be healed.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, she'll be either physically healed for life to continue here, or she will be in heaven where she will be fully healed. Yeah. So she won't be struggling with what she's... All this was from COVID, so, you know, I shouldn't say all of it. She had a lot of health problems, I understand, and COVID just exasperated it, you know. So anyway, anything else? Well, let's rise and we'll join in singing hymn 515. I know it. I think y'all probably know it too.
When you start out, we'll teach you that.
Yeah, if I hit the right note. Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your light appear. The evening is advancing, and darker night is near. The bridegroom is arising, and soon is drawing nigh. Pray and watch and wrestle, At midnight comes the cry. The watchers on the mountain proclaim the bridegroom near. Go forth as he approaches with alleluias clear. The marriage feast is waiting, the gates wide open stand. Arise, O heirs of glory, the bridegroom is at hand. The saints who hear in patience their cross and sufferings bore shall live and reign forever when sorrow is no more. Around the throne of glory the Lamb they shall behold, in triumph cast before Him. Diadems of gold, our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun so longed for, o'er this benighted sphere. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free.